I'm going to start at Romans chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. That'll be where we start. We'll skip around a lot tonight. A lot of reading in our discussion time, but it is Bible study. So I hope you've got your Bible with you. And we'll be getting started again, Romans 15, 1 through 6, in just a couple of few moments. Tonight, I want to continue our discussion that we started kind of Sunday morning, if you will. I commented on Sunday morning, for those of you that remained in the auditorium class, Sunday morning, we talked about overcoming adversity. And kind of to backtrack a little bit, Sunday morning we talked about adversity. We focused on the life of Joseph, and we focused on how the things that Joseph went through, why he's such a fantastic example, the things that he went through were not situations he created. You know, a lot of times we get so bent out of shape at life, and we fuss and we gripe and we, oh, woe is me, everything. The term I like to call it is catastrophizing. We like to make everything worse than it is, and what we fail to realize is so much of the grief that we endure in life is our own doing. It's because we're selfish. It's because we don't put God first. It's because we choose to bring about problems in our life. And so a lot of times before we start fussing and griping and saying, oh, woe is me, look at how horrible my life is, we should first ask, why are we going through what we're going through? And it could be said that the reason we're going through such misery is because we were the ones that created it. Joseph didn't create it. Joseph was a victim of circumstances. He was a victim of envy, jealousy, and adversity he had to face wasn't his doing. But there's some good we can learn in there. Sunday night, we talked about overcoming weariness. Kind of a continuation. In Sunday night's sermon, I wanted us to focus on the fact that we get worn out from time to time. Sometimes we just get overloaded. We get frustrated. And I wanted us to talk about the fact that as Christians, a lot of times we get weary because we're tired. We're criticized. There's people that we think might could be doing a little bit more. And tonight I want to continue with hope. And for some of you that were on my Facebook page late last night, I got on and I wrote the fact that, you know, my last three outlines have been on adversity, overcoming weariness, and trying to find hope in the world. Anybody see a trend right now with that? And on that note, before we get in here, let me ask you to pray for the good people of this community that's still struggling with flood damage. Some of you have asked about what's going on. There's a great deal of recovery still to be done right now. And I do want you to pray. I'm not going to say too much about this, but pray for our school system. Pray for our administrators. Pray for our elected officials. And in particular, if you want something to pray for, pray that Waverly Elementary School opens on August the 6th. Because there's still a lot of work to do for that school. And pray that they're able to get it open. And y'all, if you're looking for something to do over the next 10 days, go up there and volunteer. They've got a truckload of furniture coming in on Monday. They've got a truckload of books coming in. And if you want to make a difference, then go up there and say, how can I help? Lift a box, find a teacher. You can call Miss Link and she'll be glad to tell you where to go. But tonight I want to talk about overcoming hope. And in Romans chapter 15, verses 1 through 6, Scripture tells us, we then who are strong, we ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures we might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you as we get started, who do you rely on when you're faced with difficult circumstances? When life gets to you, when you have a difficult decision, when you have a difficult situation, who do you rely on in your struggles? What I've found at least for myself, is that when I'm faced with a difficult circumstance, I'm typically prone to call a friend up, or maybe go to a neighbor I can trust, or maybe even open up a book and see what the experts have to tell us. We are prone to listen to other people. We are prone to put our life in their hands, so to speak. And we are prone to place our hope in the wisdom and the experience of other people. Hope is vital. Hope is essential. Without hope, there's not a whole lot to live for. Hope is critical for our everyday survival in life. And God understands that. Did you catch verse 4 of Romans chapter 15? For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and through the comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Now, what type of hope are we thinking about here? Well, when we speak of this type of hope, I know that we are not trying to focus on the type of hope I had in my backyard recently. Now, to set the story up, I've learned in my 31 years of life that there are some measurements you need to take with a grain of salt. Joe, you'll appreciate this. When somebody tells you the size of a fish they catch, you sometimes need to take it with a, you know, I'm right? You know what I'm talking about. Okay. And when I'm talking to a golfing buddy and they say, oh, you should have seen the distance on my tee shot. It was 300 plus yards. Grain of salt. Somebody tells you how large a vegetable was they got from their garden. Maybe in the excitement of it, maybe they got the measurement off a little bit. Sometimes you need to take with a grain of salt how fast a spouse says their significant other was driving the other day. One other thing I've learned to take with a grain of salt is the size of an unwanted animal in the house or in the yard. Any of you ever had somebody say, oh, there was a mouse and it was, you know, some ridiculous radioactive size. Now, we had a snake in our yard, and for some of you that's not a big deal. But I was driving back and I saw a snake and I did not stop to get a tape measure. But the snake was rather large, and it was larger than I wanted to check out. And I didn't get that close to it, but obviously I didn't want to be around it. And I'm not afraid to admit that it scared me. I was like, okay, I don't like that. And I went to the house, and I said I was going to stay in the house for a little while. Well, Presley did not see the snake. And if I can gripe a little bit about children's cartoons, they give children a false hope of animals, especially snakes. You know, go Diego, go. Anybody, if you've ever watched that, Diego hangs out with talking snakes all the time. So Presley's not afraid of snakes. She thinks they're good. They talk. I don't like them. And so Presley wanted to go and play on her swing set, like right after I saw a snake in the yard. So here's what happened. We went to the backyard, and I went with her to the swing set, but I spent the bulk of my time scouring the ground, looking around, because I was hoping that I would not find a snake that afternoon. That is not the kind of hope that God is talking about in His Word. He's not saying, okay, hope that nothing bad happens to you. That's not what He's telling you. God's kind of hope that He tells us in passages like here in Romans 15 could be best described as an attitude of confidence or expectation or trust. You know what that means when I say confidence, expectation, and trust? That means I can say, okay, I am confident in this situation, and I am confident that God is going to see me through this situation. Not confidence, oh, I'm confident something bad's going to happen, but I'm confident that God is looking out for me and that God will provide for me. It's an attitude of expectation. It's not so much that you're confident that God's going to take care of you as much as it is you expect God to take care of you. It's one thing to say, I think God's going to take care of me. It's one thing to say, okay, I think God will see me through, maybe. It's another thing to say, I expect God to take care of me. I expect Him to see me through a difficult situation. Yes, sir?
You killed that snake, you that one.
Well, okay. Do we have any PETA people in here? People for the ethical? Okay. All right. I didn't shoot it, okay? Me and Lou, I did not shoot the animal. He did live on. He made it across the street. But big, big snake. Big snake. It was giant snake. But it's an attitude of confidence. It's an attitude of expectation. It's also an expectation of trust. You know, I trust God. God will see me through a difficult situation. Now, if we skip over, we can go to Hebrews chapter 6. And Hebrews chapter 6, we'll look at a few verses over there. Hebrews chapter 6, we'll start in verse 13. And let's start in verse 13. We'll go through the end of the chapter. Hebrews 6, starting in verse 13. And I want you to pay particular attention to verses 17 through 20. But I also want to start with verse 13 and see our way through. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, "Surely, blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you." And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. Now, pay particular attention here, verse 17 and following. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold of the hope that is set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul. It is both sure, it is steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Now our hope as Christians, if I can quote the song, is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. Now if you skip back to 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, many of you already know 1 Corinthians 13. Some of you can quote it. It is very popular at weddings, and maybe it was even read at your wedding once upon a time. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we'll read all the chapter. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I have become as a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and though I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. It is not provoked. It thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. This chapter ends with what is listed as some of the greatest gifts that God has given us. Some of the greatest blessings, resources, tools, however you want to describe it, some of the greatest things that God has given to us. Right here, these three. Faith, hope, and love. And one of the greatest gifts that God has given us to get through this world is hope. Hope is such a valuable gift from God. Hope gets us through even when we know that the situation looks bleak. You know, when someone comes in and says, okay, look, I don't want to scare you too bad, but here's the situation, here's what's going to happen. Hope gets us through when everyone else tells us that we're not going to be able to get through. Hope gets us through when that loved one, that person that we have in our life that we care for, hope gets us through when that person loses their way. We have hope. We have confidence. We have trust, expectation that that person will find their way. And hope gets us through when we're just worn out from life. Hope gets us through when we're tired, when we're overcome, when we're burnt out, as I said on Sunday night, because hope makes us realize that something better awaits the faithful. So let me ask you tonight, do you have that type of hope? Do you have the type of hope in your life that when your situation looks bleak, when everyone else says it's time to throw in the towel, so to speak, when that loved one loses their way, when you're burnt out, worn out, do you have that type of hope? Do you have that type of expectation? Do you have that type of confidence? And do you have that type of trust that God is going to see me through this situation? Tonight, for a few minutes, I want us to continue looking in the Scriptures. And I want us to really search the Scriptures in an effort to find out where we can get that hope. Because for someone here tonight, maybe you gave up. Maybe a doctor came in and said, okay, here's your situation. Maybe you said, okay, I'm done. The doctor said I'm done. Maybe you've been waiting for something good to happen in your life and all you've seen is misery. And maybe you're on that threshold and you're saying, nothing good's going to happen. Or if it was going to happen, it would have happened. Maybe you have a loved one in your life that you've been patiently waiting for. Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it's a child. Maybe it's a brother or sister. And maybe you're starting to wonder, okay, God, when is it going to work out for me? So it's possible that there might be someone here tonight that's wanting to know, where can I find hope tonight? And for this is for you. The first place you can find hope in your spiritual walk is through endurance. If you take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 24. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's start in verse 24, and we'll go through the end of the chapter. Excuse me. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. But I discipline my body, and I bring it into subjection, lest, when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Folks, God wants for you to have a good life. God wants you to have an enjoyable time on earth. But it is also God's good pleasure to give you the desire of your hearts at times. God wants you to have a good life, and there are times that you're going to ask God for some blessings to come in, and at times God's going to grant you the desire of your heart. But folks, let me give you a reality check tonight. Sometimes it is God's practice to not give you everything you want. Yeah, God wants you to have a good life, but folks, sometimes there are going to be things that you ask God for, and His response will be no. At least not now. And so it is that sometimes you and I have to learn to wait on God, and we have to learn a little thing called patience, and we have to learn something called endurance. Maybe you remember the song that They that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. But you might be wondering, okay, Chris, well, you just said God wants me to have a good life. And you just said that there are times that I'm going to pray for something and God's going to give it to me. And I know that there are also things I've never prayed for that God has still given me. So if God wants me to have a good life, then why is God delaying fulfilling some of the things that I'm hoping for in life? I mean, if I'm a good person, if I'm a good Christian, if I'm faithful, if I'm doing what God wants me to, why not God just give me what I'm asking for right now? Let's just end the suspense, go ahead and grant it to me. One possible reason for that would be so we would gain an appreciation for what we will have when God does, in fact, give it to us. If you go back to Genesis chapter 2, if you go to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, when God created Adam, Scripture tells us that He did not immediately give him Eve. Genesis 2:18, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper that is comparable to him." So, okay, God sees a need. He looks, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper. Okay, so did God immediately grant Adam Eve? Let's look at Scripture and see what happens. If you go to Genesis 2, you see almost inexplicably, God then gives Adam a task of going out and naming the animals. Okay, not good man should be alone, but go name the animals. What? I mean, couldn't God figure out the names for those critters? Sure He could. Absolutely He could. But one can make the argument that God wanted Adam to fulfill this task, remain faithful, see and review the rest of creation before Eve was taken from his side. And thus, when Adam set his eyes on Eve, he declares, Genesis 2:23, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." So it's possible that through endurance and patience, you and I can have a greater appreciation for some things. Another possibility for this would be our need for purification, or even the need for strengthening. Let's go back to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, we're going to start in verse 1. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. We'll go from verse 1 to verse 5. "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." Could be said that God's delays serve to prepare us to handle the responsibilities of these desires. You know, there's a lot of things that I thought growing up that I was ready for. And a lot of times I can now look back with hindsight and realize that a lot of things that my mom and dad wouldn't let me have when I thought I needed to have them was because my mom and dad were smarter than I was. And my mom and dad at times realized, Chris isn't ready for that type of responsibility. When you are responsible, and when you can handle it, then you'll be ready. We find hope through endurance. But the second place that we can find hope is through the encouragement that we receive from God's Word. If you go back to Romans 15, verse 4, Romans 15, 4, the verses we started at earlier, Romans 15:4 tells us, For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and the comfort of the Scriptures we might have hope. If you go to the 119th Psalm, the 119th Psalm, it reinforces this point that there is so much encouragement and there are so many blessings that we can find whenever we just take the time to focus, to study, to meditate on the Word of God. The time does not allow for us to read the entire 119th Psalm tonight, so I'm just going to kind of highlight a few verses and let's work our way through it. If you start Psalm 119, you can skip down to verse 43. Psalm 119, verse 43. Actually, let's go to verse 41, and let's do 41 through 43. Let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. So shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me. Why? For I trust in your word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in your ordinances. Skip down to verse 81. Verse 81 of Psalm 119. My soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word. Skip down to verse 114. Let's do 113 and 114. We've got a few minutes. I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Let's go to verse 147. Verse 147, I rise before the dawning of the morning and cry for help. I hope in your word. You know, not only can we hope in God's word, not only can we hope that everything that has been said in Scripture is in fact going to happen, but we can receive hope from the Word of God. We can receive strength. We can receive an emotional security and peace of mind, if you will, knowing that when life tries to give us some obstacle, that we know that God will provide for us. The Word of God, it fills us with hope. The Word of God fills us with hope because not only does God say, okay, you need to hope in me, but because it gives us examples of the faithfulness of God, and it gives us reminders of the ways in which God can work in our lives, and it gives reminders of how God will work in our lives. There is a principle that is repeated regularly throughout Scripture. It is a description of how almost all of the great lives of God's people, or at least a whole bunch of them, too many for us to list tonight, went through a three-stage process. So what I'm saying is we've got some great examples. They went through a three-stage process that is as follows. Number one, their story began with a great vision of potential. God, Spirit, Prophet, someone comes. Here is what is going to happen in your life. Here is where you're going to be one of these days. So there's a vision or promise of great potential. But in many of these instances, we find the second part of this is where the hope that was placed in their future was destroyed. So someone is promised you will be great. Then something seemingly catastrophic happens that for most of us would make us wonder, okay, so much for that dream. But then the third stage of this process is the fulfillment of the original vision. So you have promise, destruction, and then fulfillment of promise. There's a bunch that we could go to, and you could look at Abraham, for example. You can think of Abraham and the promise that God gave, and how a son was going to come, a future generations were going to come. And then Genesis 18:11 tells us, quote, Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. Problem, but not for God. Months later, a child is born in fulfillment of original vision. You've got at the age of 17, who we talked about Sunday, Joseph. Joseph received word, vision, that you will be a man of greatness. Something great is going to happen to you. You will be great one day. And what happened? Well, it certainly wasn't a typical path to greatness. It was hatred from his brothers. When the opportunity arose they could get rid of him, they got rid of him. They sold him in slavery. They lied to dad and said, he's dead. But later, if you finish reading the story, the brothers are reunited. Joseph calmed their fear. They were afraid that he was going to seek revenge on them. And he calmed the fear by saying, quote, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. We have at a young age, David is given a promise of kingship. And we know his path was anywhere but good or enjoyable or fun, as he has to spend the next several years of his life running, and he goes in banishment or exile of someone who's trying to kill him. But in due time, God, as always, came through on his promise. Of course, we know of Jesus, who came to be the king of the Jews, but he was rejected by the people. He was plotted against by the leaders. He suffered. He was punished. And he died a terrible death. But on the third day, everything changed. And God's promise to all humanity had been fulfilled. We can attain the type of hope that God wants us to have. We can have confidence. We can have expectation. We can have trust through endurance and through the encouragement of Scripture. But finally, point number three tonight. We can attain the hope of God by being a servant. Let's go back to Romans 15. Romans 15. Let's make sure we get all of this information. Romans 15, 1 through 6 again. We who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak, not to please ourselves, but let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. Why? For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. Do you remember what the disciples always seem to be arguing about in the gospel accounts? That's right. Who is the man? Who is going to be the greatest? And if you go to Luke chapter 22, Luke 22, if you want to skip over, we have one such instance of this. And Luke chapter 22, starting in verse 24. Luke 22, 24. Now there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. So he, being Jesus, said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. But not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as the one who serves. But you are those who have continued with me in my trials. And I bestow upon you a kingdom just as my Father bestowed one upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Servanthood, the act of being a servant, humility, is God's way of making you a great person. It's because God created us to be happiest, most fulfilled, and most at peace when we learn to serve others. It has been written that there is a town named Port Hope, Canada. And it is written that in the town of Port Hope, Canada, there is a monument that has been built. The monument was not for a leading citizen who just died, but for a poor, unselfish working man who gave most of his life and energy to help those who could not repay him. His name was Joseph Scriven. I believe I'm saying that right. He was born in Dublin, 1820. In his youth, he had the prospect of being a great citizen. He had high ideals. He had great aspirations. He was engaged to a beautiful young woman who had promised to share his dream. But on the eve of their wedding, her body was pulled from a pond into which she had accidentally fallen and drowned. Young Scriven never overcame the shock. Although a college graduate, although he was ready to embark on a brilliant career, he began to wander to try to forget his sorrows. His wanderings took him to Canada, where he spent the last 41 of his 60 years. He became a devout Christian. His beliefs led him to do labor for poor widows and sick people. He often worked for no money at all. It was not known that Mr. Scriven had any poetic gifts until a short time before his death. A friend who was sitting with him in an illness discovered a poem he had written to his mother in a time of sorrow. Not intending that anyone else should see it, but his poem was later set to music and has become one of our most beloved songs. What was his poem? "What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit, and oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." Folks, we can attain God's kind of hope tonight. We can gain that type of confidence, expectation, trust. We can gain it by endurance. We can gain it by the encouragement of Scripture. And we can gain it by being a servant. Romans 15:13 says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrow share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do your friends despise, forsake you? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In His arms, He'll take and shield you. You will find a solace there. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for giving us the ability and the honor to be called your children and your servants. God, thank you for your word, and thank you for the hope. And God, help us to find this hope. Help us to find this confidence, this expectation, this trust. Help us to realize that you are looking out for our best interest. God, help us to start looking out for our own best interest as well as for your best interest. Help us to stop making foolish decisions, selfish decisions. Help us to realize that so much of the adversity and struggle we come from life is because we just don't put you first. And if we did put you first, oh, what a different life we would have. God, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for everyone that meets at this place. God, I ask you to grant those who are hurting tonight. I ask you to be with those that are in hospitals or coming out of hospitals or facing upcoming procedures. Use us as a source of strength and encouragement. God, I ask you in a special way to bless the people of this community that are still rebuilding their lives. God, I ask a special blessing on those whose homes are still damaged. I ask you to be with those at the school. God, help school to open on time. But God, help us to make sure that we're putting kids in a safe place also. God, help us to come together to do what needs to be done, ultimately for your glory. Be with us. Keep us safe in your care. In Jesus' name, amen.
Y'all have a great week.